Readers Entertainment Radio presents Book Lights with your host, author Lisa Kessler. Book Lights, where we're shining a light on good books.
Happy Monday, everyone. It's the last Monday in February, and this month I've been devoting all of February to romance writers. So today you are going to get to meet Anna J. Stewart. She's a USA Today best-selling romance author. I can't wait for you to meet her. She's been on before. If you have not read her books yet, you're in for a big treat, and I will go ahead and read her bio here so you can get to know her. Anna J. Stewart is a USA Today and national best-selling author who can't remember a time she didn't have a book in her hands or a story in her head. Her early obsessions with Star Wars, Star Trek, and Wonder Woman set her on a path to creating sweet to sexy pulse-pounding romances for her independent heroines. Anna lives in Northern California, where she deals with a serious supernatural addiction and two slightly nutty cats, Rosie and Sherlock. When she's not writing, you can find her cooking, baking, and binge-watching classic TV and cooking shows, attending fan conventions back when we could do that, or heading to the movies back when we could do that too, but hopefully soon. You can read more about Anna and her books. She also has writing workshops and things on her website, so I did put a link right there on the Blog Talk site. You can click that anytime and sign up for her newsletter and see what else is coming. And without any further delay, Anna, you there?
I am here. It's great to be back with you, Lisa.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming back on. I'm so excited. And you're rounding out our romantic February is like, you know, romance's big month, just like October is horror's big month. So I'm glad you could be here. We'll celebrate the hearts and romances. So you have a new book out right now, Bride on the Run. You want to tell everybody about it so they can run and grab it?
I do. I'm lucky. It's one of those books that the title kind of says it all. It's a Bride on the Run book, and my heroine, Sienna Fairchild. Sorry, I'm running a lot of books. I have to remember who the characters are.
I know, right? I totally get it.
My heroine's about to walk down the aisle and realizes at the last minute it's going to be a huge mistake. So in her bridal gown, she makes a break for it. She's at a marina in San Diego and comes across a boat named Nana's Dream. And as she's dealing with the grief of losing her grandmother, she takes it as a sign and jumps on board. And enter hero Monty Betancourt, who finds her stowed away in one of his closets, and the fun kind of takes off from there. So it was a really fun book to write because it was way different than anything else I'd done before. I took them out of the usual Butterfly Harbor setting, and I put them on the water and got to think. Write about boats and all kinds of stuff, and it was a really fun book to write, and I think readers are really enjoying it.
Oh, that's so cool, and you gotta love a Bride on the Run story, because just the image of, you know, her running away in a wedding gown, I always think of Smokey and the Bandit, where she's in the wedding gown and she jumps in the car and she's taking off pieces of it while they drive.
Yes. Yeah.
So I always think about
that was one of the images. Yeah. That came to me. And then also the video from the Chicks, what was it? I forgot what the song was, but they had that big hit back in the day.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
And the video always took chord with me. So.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I haven't written a bride running away yet, but it sounds totally fun.
It really was.
And this one is from the heartwarming Harlequin, right? So it's a sweet romance.
Yes, it's a sweet romance. So there's no sex on the page. There's lots. Well, for me anyway, there's, you know, sexual tension, of course, especially on a boat. There's going to be some close quarters. So, it's a very sweet romance, but has lots of emotion, lots of pulling at the heartstrings, because that's what we do when we don't have sex. You got to go for the emotion, or at least dig deeper into the emotion than you normally would. So, and the close quarters is always fun to write, too. So,
yes, where they can't get away from each other.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the book that's coming up, you have another book that's coming out like next week, right? The Colson 911 Undercover Heat.
I do, yes. So this is one of Harlequin's continuity series with their romantic suspense line. And I was lucky that they asked me to come back. I had written one a couple of years ago, so they asked me to write another one. And I hit the jackpot because the heroine in this one is a chef. And my obsession with cooking shows and cooking and baking, it made the book so much fun to write because I could write about one of the things I really love in life. So, and I also love writing cop stories and suspense. So it was kind of like a trifecta of happiness for me as an author, and that'll be out on Monday.
And for the readers out there who are listening who don't know what a continuity is, do you want to tell them, isn't it like where they give you a series Bible and you know, figure out who your people are and what the rules are and all that, and then you write a book?
Yeah, pretty much. So Harlequin's editors for the line get together and they create kind of an interconnected series of books. It's this particular one is 6 books. And each book is written by a different author, and we're each given a different storyline and characters and certain threads we have to weave through it, but the rest of the story is kind of completely in our hands. So it's a good combination of having a really good outline to work off of, and for somebody like me, who I don't plot my books typically.
Yeah, I don't either.
The idea of plotting just paralyzes me, but this makes it go a little bit faster. So it's kind of turned me into a planter, meaning I plot out a little bit more than I used to after having written 2 of these books. But the good thing about these books is while they all connect, but they all also stand alone. So, you know, if you were to come into it, my book, which is book 3, you'll probably read elements, kind of want to go back and see what that was all about in book 1 or 2, or I want to see what happens with a certain storyline that happens in book 4 or 5. So, and it's like I said, they're really fun to write, and you also get to be connected to some really great authors.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do the authors all, like, do you guys have an email loop where you go, hey, are you guys going to do this? Or you warn them that I threw in a dog? Or do you guys all talk?
Well, we all get the same information with the Bible. So if there's anything that we do change, usually, yeah, there's usually an email loop that's been set up that we can, you know, just shoot off an email and say, hey, just in case, you know, I changed this, or this person's name is this now, or whatever. And we also have a great editor overseeing the series. So it's just a couple of emails just to make sure. And it makes it really interesting. The first time I did it, I had a lot more questions and probably drove people nuts with a lot more emails. But this time, the second time, I felt a little bit more confident in just being able to pick up and run with it.
Oh, that sounds super fun. And people can already pre-order that one, right? That one's already up for pre-order?
They can, yes.
Exciting. So fun. How hard is it for you to shift gears? Because the romantic suspense, those do have sex in them, right? So how is it for you switching gears between sexy books and sweet books?
I don't know that it's difficult. I guess it can be challenging. I'm not a big fan of writing sex in books anyway. It's just not my favorite part of the story to write. So by the time I've written 2 or 3 sweet romances, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to get some stuff out of my system. Let's write something a little spicier. So the suspense books come along and I'm like, oh, look, they can do other things that they can't do in the sweet romances. So, and the language gets loosened up a little bit too. So, the suspenses tend to be palate cleansers, where I can kind of work everything out and get it out of my system and then go back to the sweet romances.
I love that. Okay. That totally makes sense. I write a werewolf series and then I write something that's not werewolves. And every time I get away from the werewolves, it's like, oh, I don't have to worry about how anything smells. And I don't have to worry if they're upwind. Yay.
Right.
So I fully get it in a whole different way. The paranormal way.
Oh, paranormal. I love paranormal too.
Yeah, I was when I was reading your bio, I was thinking, wow, you like Supernatural and Star Wars and Wonder Woman. How come you're not writing paranormal? Do you have a paranormal like in your drawer that you just haven't published yet?
I have a lot of paranormals, actually. It's what I really wanted to write.
It was my gosh.
Yeah, it's my dream genre. But it, so I had written 4 different paranormals, kind of, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And this was back when you're printing them out. And one of them I just found a couple of weeks ago, and it was 600 pages. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Wow.
Like, that was before published when you learn everything, or learn a
right.
lot of things. But in 2012, when I finaled in the Golden Heart for RWA, I actually finaled with a paranormal romance. And I actually got my first agent from that. And that book, it came close with like 4 publishers, but they did not know what to do with it because it couldn't be pigeonholed. They couldn't nail it down so specifically that it made for easy marketing. And at the time I was thinking, you know, why don't you ask me what my marketing ideas are? Because I didn't exactly write this without a plan.
Right.
But my agent at the time said, you know, this just isn't getting us where we want to go. Do you have any contemporary? And I went, well, yeah, it was the very first book I had written. And she said, well, let's take a look at it. And I rewrote it completely. And ironically, it was actually something I had submitted to Harlequin way back in the day to the editor who now edits my suspense stuff. And
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was a full circle moment. But so I rewrote it, and Berkeley bought it about a month after I sold my first Harlequin novella. So the contemporary was where I landed, even though, you know, the paranormal is really what I would love.
Where your heart
to be
is,
writing.
Yeah.
it is, yeah. Although the suspense comes, you know, second for sure.
Right.
I mean, I love writing
right.
it all.
Suspense
but
has kind of the same elements, you know, life and death and big stakes and all that kind of thing. If I had to give up paranormal, I would go definitely towards suspense just because I like those big stakes.
Exactly. So, and it's funny because I have been thinking about digging out that paranormal again that didn't make it with the publishers. And I, not that I want to self-publish, because I do not have the attention span or the dedication to be able to do that properly. But there are some new publishers out there that I would consider sending it to, I think. As long as I'm contracted for what I'm contracted for, that's going to have to wait until I do a little bit of
a
catch-up.
Yeah, you're really busy. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're really busy right now. But, oh, my gosh, that would be so exciting. You have to come back and tell me if you do that.
I will.
I'll buy it.
Yay. Awesome.
See, you've already got one sale.
I'll put that in my query letters. I've already got a guaranteed
there you go.
Sale from one reader.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Well, I was also going to ask you, because I've been asking most everybody who comes on the show, readers are curious just because, you know, we're always in the writer cave writing. But I've been asking everybody, how has it been different for you during writing during a plague? I mean, we all thought we had been training for this moment, but it's actually been really difficult to write. How have you been, you know, writing Happily Ever After as well? You had fires up in Northern California. I mean, how are you getting through your writing process? Are things different, or, you know, how are you doing it?
It has been a year.
Right?
I was actually doing really, really well, churning out the books until I think probably last April. And I mm-hmm. think because I'm in California, we locked down pretty early, which, like you
right.
said, I'm a very solitary person anyway. I spend most of my time in the house. But when you're told you have to be in the house,
right.
it plays with your head. It really does. And, I mean, trips to the grocery store became like second only to Disneyland because you actually got
right.
to get out and
right.
see something other than your walls. But no, I shut down. It was not easy to get the words on the page. And I think it's because you're just waiting for the hatchet to fall. You don't know what's going to be coming next. You don't know what the news is going to tell you, or what, you know, what your next door neighbor is going to be doing, or something's going
right.
to be wonky. And for a creative mindset, we already live in that space. So when reality
right.
adds to it, it like doubles it. So, and then I was just getting back to it, and then my mother came down with some serious health issues, not COVID, fortunately, and we're on the other side of it now, but that's only been within the last couple of weeks. So I literally have been lucky to get maybe 2-3 pages average a day, and there have been weeks I haven't been able to write, which when you've got deadlines
right.
looming and you only get paid when you meet those deadlines, so you have
right.
that on top of things, it adds a stress that it really, it's not easy to work your way out of. The good news is I can finally kind of see the rainbow at the end now for various
Yay.
Reasons. I will say it was interesting, and not to get political, but January 20th seemed to have been a turning point for me in that
mm-hmm.
I felt a lot of weight lift. And then
right.
News of the vaccine and that was going to be coming, and not so much worried for myself getting it, but getting my mother to get it.
For your mom, right.
Exactly, because if she gets COVID, that's going to be it. I mean, with her underlying health
right.
problems, that's just the way it is, and it's like that way for so many families.
Right.
So finally being able to see where things might be going instead of just a dark looming tunnel of unknown, I think has finally,
right.
I've been able to raise the curtain on the creativity. So I've got 2 books. And I will say my editor, Arla Quinn Catherine, has been phenomenal. I had to call her at one point and said, look, I'm just not going to be able to make these deadlines. And she goes, it's okay. What can we do? And there was never a question. There was never a fight
That's
back.
Wonderful.
It was all, how can we
right.
make this easier right. on you? And it's one of the reasons I love working with Harlequin, is because they do see me as a person. And they realize that, you know, we've all had going through a lot of things, and that no two authors are alike, and they're not going to be dealing with things in the same way. So they've been really supportive in that.
Yeah, yeah, and that definitely is a huge help, because once the stress comes on, it gets really hard to be creative, and then you add,
yeah.
you know, the stress of a deadline and a crushing.
Yeah, it really can be. But fortunately, the sun is shining probably just as it is now, and I don't think I will ever begrudge the sun ever again.
Right. So what's next for you? You obviously have these 2 books right now, but what are you working on next?
So let's see. I've got an April novella coming out in an anthology from Kazik Romance. That'll be called A Second Chance at Love, I think is the anthology's name. The link should be up for that pretty soon, I'm hoping. And then I have, let me see, I've got my next Butterfly Harbor book coming out in August. And that's a really fun one. It's number 10 in the series, Bride on the Run,
wow.
number 9, and they all stand alone, but they all have recurring characters. So you get to revisit with all the town folk and all the previous heroes and heroines. You always see them popping up in different stories. So, and then
wow.
I'll only have 2 more books to write in that series, and I'll be done with it, because it was always
wow.
just going to be 12 books. Yeah, so now I've got to.
Was it just one family, or?
No, it's actually Butterfly Harbor is a town in Northern California modeled after Pacific Grove in the Monterey area, which is like one of my favorite places on the planet to go. It's just gorgeous, and no, it's a small town community, and there are some brothers and sisters, not too many. I think I had a set of twins. Frankie and Monty, and Monty is the hero of the Bride on the Run story. So I always tend to write close-knit communities, lots of friends, and I do family found, meaning a lot of my characters, heroes, heroines, secondary, they've made their own families among their friends,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's because I've done the same with myself. So it's what I write. It's what I love to read, actually, you know, going back to,
right.
you know, the Nora Roberts trilogies and the way that she would create those small families out of friendships. That's really what I always strive to do with any of my books. I do that with my suspense books as well. My Honor Bound series, which I'm trying to think, the next one to that will be out, I think, next January, which is my Prison Break series, my Prison Break book, which was really fun to write. But it's, that's the 5th one in the series. But you get to see all the characters from the previous books, pop up in that. So So I have a lot of irons in the fire, a lot of books to write, that's for sure.
Yes. And you know, I love that when I was first starting out, I was very worried about, you know, what do you do when you run out of book ideas? But I didn't realize once I started writing books that then more ideas come. There are so many more ideas than we have time to write.
I love that. And the way those secondary characters just pop their heads up and they go, hello, I'm more interesting than what you're writing now. Come play with me. And then you have to try to figure out, okay, I have to stay focused on this book and I can use you as a reward when I get to you.
Right. Yes. I have a friend who calls them dessert projects. So you have to wait and be a dessert project.
I like that.
So what have you, since we've all been in for the year, what have you been binge watching that we should all watch? I've been adding to my list every week from things that people tell me. What do you love? What should we be watching? Well, obviously,
you know,
Supernatural, and that just ended, right?
Well, yeah. Yes, it did.
Oh,
I have a hard
time
believing I won't see the boys. Yeah, I know. It's a grieving process. And for the record, I was fine with the finale. I know a lot of people weren't, but I thought it did really well in wrapping everything up, it's given the constraints they had, considering they were filming during COVID. So,
they have 13 seasons or something like that? It was like 15, really long.
15.
15.
15
wow.
seasons. Yeah. And
that's amazing.
Some are better than others, but going back to the whole family and community aspect, that show at its heart is about brotherhood and it's about family. So that's the main reason I think most of the fans stick with it, is because it became a family of its own. And, you know, I don't think there is a more dedicated fan base. And I say that as a Star Trek and Star Wars fan. I don't think there's a more dedicated fan base than the Supernatural people. And part of that is because, you know, the two lead actors are such good guys. They're just really nice guys. And it reflects, I think, in what they're doing now. So as far as what else I was watching, you know what? I went back to a lot of old shows from the 80s. I binge watched The Pretender.
I love The Pretender.
Yeah, I did that through DVD because it is not streaming anywhere. Can you believe that?
That's what I was going to say. I was dying to ask, where did you find it? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I had it on DVD for a while. And it had been a while since I'd watched it. So I did watch that. One of my all-time favorite shows, strangely enough, is Numbers,
which was the
FBI mathematics thing. With David Krumholtz and Rob Morrow. And there again, it's about brotherhood and it's about, you know, their relationship and how they learn to work together. So I watch a lot of shows like that. And then I'm a huge fan of The Great British Bake Off. So I've rewatched all of those seasons. Nadia has two shows on Nadia Hussein, who won the U.S. season 6. I don't know what season it was over in the U.K. because they got a couple of extra that we didn't. But she has a couple of cooking shows that I just love. And I watched Bridgerton, of course, because romance author. It's kind of required of us. And it was even better than I thought it was going to be. It was. And it gave us the gift of that wonderful lead actor wherever he's been.
Did you see him on Saturday Night Live?
I did, and he was phenomenal.
He was fantastic, and he can sing.
I know, he should not be
allowed to sing, too.
Yeah, it's like he's the gift that keeps giving, and it's going to be really interesting where they take the next seasons with that. And then what else? Mandalorian, which I really enjoyed.
Yes,
it's just nice,
Mandalorian.
Fun. And then I've caught up with WandaVision, and I haven't decided if I will like it. So
I still haven't watched that yet, but I am interested. We were going to wait till all the episodes were up because I'm horrible about now that we can stream and watch everything, I'm so horrible about a weekly reminder. You know, if they aren't all out, I won't remember to watch. So we were waiting for all of them.
Yeah, so for me it was kind of more obligation viewing than wanting to see it, because in order to keep up with the rest of the Marvel Universe, you kind of have to keep up with the shows they put out. So
right, that's true.
Yeah, so it's good. It's entertaining. Half the time I'm not sure what I'm really seeing. So whatever. And then I caught up on all the new Star Trek shows, and I'm a huge Discovery fan now, even though it took me a while to get on board with Discovery, but I really enjoy that one. But a lot of what I end up watching is stuff I've seen before, mainly because I can do other stuff while it's on.
Right.
Because I just,
like a comfort watch.
Exactly. And it's just background noise. And I also started doing, just to get my brain off other things, was the diamond art painting, you know, where you stick rhinestones on a color by number kind of thing.
I've never heard of that. What?
Oh, it's all over the place. Just put in diamond art paintings onto Amazon and you'll find a whole new world of distraction.
So goodbye adult coloring and hello rhinestone painting.
Pretty much, yeah. But that's what I've been doing to maintain my sanity while, you know, the world around us implodes.
right. Yeah, while waiting for things to mellow out so that we can have some sense of normal again.
Exactly.
So we're quickly running out of time, but I did also want to ask you, who inspires you? Who do you love to read that makes you want to get back and write some more? You read it and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so inspired to go write.
My standby is always Nora Roberts, mainly because she was the first romance author I read back in 80 something, revealing my age there. She's like a North Star for me. If I need inspiration, I'll go back, and especially her J.D. Robb books, and the world that she's created with that, always. It used to depress me before I got published, because when I would read her and I would think, I'm never going to be this good. And then when I got published, I realized I don't have to be this good, because that's Nora and I'm me. So
right. You have your own voice.
Exactly. So now she's just, she's reward reading and she's who I go to when I am just stuck and I'm like, okay, I just need to decompress. So her, Sherilyn Kenyon, although I'm way behind on her books, way behind. And then I've been trying to read a lot more contemporary romance. Reese Ryan, who writes for the Silhouette Desire line, she's absolutely amazing. Her books are fabulous. I agree. Late to the party on Maisie Yates, so I've been reading her. And my tried and true Brenda Novak is always good. And of course, I used to work for her as her assistant. So.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was her assistant for a number of years.
She's fantastic. I love her romantic suspense.
Yeah, she's really, really good. And she works really hard at her books. So, and helped me see what a strong writing work ethic was really all about. So it was a good example to work under, I'll tell you. And then for suspense and thrillers, I love Alison Brennan. Again, she's a friend, but she gets the dynamic of relationships and how they connect to the outside world and the jobs that they do as law enforcement.
I love that. And she is an awesome, if you like romantic suspense, she's fantastic. I love her books too. Well, we are rapidly running out of time, but I wanted to ask, how do you like readers to get in touch with you? We were talking before the show about how a reader email can be change your whole day and help you write. So please get in touch with Anna when you read her books. How do you like them to find you? Facebook, newsletter, website? How should they get in touch?
Facebook is always good. Through my author page, which is author Anna J. Stewart, I think. Yes, it is. And that's my website. See, I always forget. AuthorAnnaStewart.com is my website. And there's a contact form there. People can reach me through there. And they can message me through Facebook. through my either my author page, which now I remember is Anna J. Stewart Author.
There we go.
And then I would say DM me through Twitter, but these days I'm not spending a lot of time on Twitter because it's just a toxic hellhole. So, yeah, Facebook and my website are really the best ways to reach me. And then they can also just email me direct at anna@authorannastewart.com.
Perfect. Well, everybody, run out there and grab The Bride on the Run and also pre-order Undercover Heat. And thanks so much, Anna, for being here today.
Thanks so much for having me. This is great.
See you later.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us on Booklights. Be sure to connect with us at www.readersentertainment.com for articles, blogs, videos, and podcasts that matter to readers.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.